Well, hey, good morning, River Church. I'm glad that you are joining us today. Once again, thanks for being a part of our online ministry here at the River Church. Hope you're grabbing your Bibles or your app as we just dig into today's message. I want to start with a question. And the question that I have for you guys this morning is, when you look at who God uses through the Bible, what kind of characters do you see? Do you see superheroes or ordinary people? I mean, I know that there's a couple of characters that could be a little bit more superhero-esque in their abilities. I think of Samson, you know, who had that that superhuman strength to tear down things and stuff. But who gave him that power? Ultimately, it was the Lord. It wasn't this self coming from within just because of a super serum or radiation and gamma rays and that type of a thing. And the other character is obviously Jesus, who is the Son of God. But more often than not, when we look through Scripture, we're not seeing a Captain America type of a character, right? An individual that has this inner ability that comes out from themselves. It's ordinary people that through God are doing extraordinary things, right? That's who we see. And today, I want to look at an individual that demonstrates that in their life. Ordinary people. Moses, ordinary. Abraham, ordinary. Jacob, ordinary. Joseph, ordinary. Mary, ordinary. These are people that throughout the Bible, Paul, ordinary. Peter, ordinary. These guys, these women are ordinary people that when God got a hold of them, they did some extraordinary things. When God compelled them, maybe with the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, when God compelled them to do something, God did amazing things. God wants to do amazing things through your life. And if you will allow him to do it, let's see what God can do. If you're hungry to do more, to make a difference, I want to just encourage you to listen and respond to what the Lord has for you. All right? So let me pray for us. God, I thank you for this morning, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would move in us in such a way, that you would compel us today, that we would recognize that even as ordinary people, we can do extraordinary things. So Lord, we submit to you this morning our hearts. We want to posture ourselves to receive all that you have for us. We love you, Lord, and we just give you this time in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, one of the most motivating, captivating, inspirational accounts in the Bible is through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is an ordinary dude, right? He's just a guy that doesn't know yet that he can make a difference at the beginning, but then as he is just, as his heart is broken for his people, God does something really big in his life. I mean, Nehemiah, look at the book of Nehemiah, look at this guy. He's not a pastor, he's not a priest, he's not a prophet, he's not a warrior, he's not a king. He's just one person, an ordinary guy, who saw something that bothered him and was compelled to take action. And I want to look at this guy today. I want to look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah, at the end of chapter 1, tells us that he is a cupbearer to the king. And I want to just kind of look at who this guy is for just a moment. As a cupbearer to the king, you are a servant. You are not one who is considered to be in high class. You are not a nobleman or have ownership of property. Yet for a cupbearer, you are in a very unique place under the king. The king at this time was Artaxerxes. He is the king of Persia. He is a Babylonian king. He is still in a ruling place over the Israelites. But for him to be the cupbearer means that he is a man of integrity. He is a trusted servant to the king, one of the most highly trusted servants to the king. And he has some very intimate knowledge of all of the things going on in the kingdom. He is at the epicenter of all of the kingdom's goings-ons, all right? When a spy comes, he's hearing what's going on. When there's tragedy in another area of the kingdom, he's hearing about what's happening. I mean, here's a guy that is right there in the probably one of the most intimately trusted individuals in the kingdom. Artaxerxes would have a deep trust with this guy because the cupbearer was literally putting his life on the line for the king on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. As the wine was poured, here he is, Nehemiah is tasting the wine before he is giving it to the king. He is tasting the food before he is giving it to the king. Everything that Artaxerxes is tasting, eating, consuming, has been tasted, tried by Nehemiah before his place before the king. So there's this huge relationship that the two of them have on a regular basis. The cupbearer's role reflects the name. I mean, he was there to protect the king in all of this stuff, because there would be plots that would come where people would try to poison the king, and here he is, Nehemiah, protecting the king. There's a trust that's there, all right? And on a regular day, on an ordinary day, this ordinary guy hears some things that are taking place in his homeland, and it begins to change the course of Nehemiah's life. And I want to just take a look at that this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2. It's in the Old Testament, and it's near the book Esther, and it's right before the book Job. So you can just dig in right there. And as we look in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2, it says this: Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. Nehemiah has his brother come. He's like, hey man, what's going on in Jerusalem? What's the good news? What's the word happened? What's the gossip of the day over in Jerusalem? And Nehemiah asks his brother to tell him about this stuff and about what's happening here. 140 years earlier, just to give you a little bit of a history lesson, in 586 BC, the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar had wiped out Jerusalem. They had just destroyed the place. They burned down the temple. They had torn down the walls and the gates, and everything that had at one time made Jerusalem great had just been destroyed and torn down. The Babylonians also took tens of thousands of Jews and put them into captivity. He wanted to wipe out Nebuchadnezzar wanted to wipe out the Jewish God. He wanted to wipe out all of the tradition, all of the history. He wanted to just destroy what made the Jews so special. And yet, as we read from the history and the accounts of Nebuchadnezzar and of the Jewish people, we have Daniel, we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have these great men that have stayed and held on to the traditions, continue to pray, and continue to demonstrate that the God of the Jews was the one and only true God, right? And so here it is, years later, decades later, Nehemiah hears about this stuff from his brother, and he hears that there have been Jews that have gone back to Jerusalem to rebuild, and they are in a rough place, that the Jews are hurting. He says, the brother says to Nehemiah in verse 3, he says, they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. They're hurting. There's no wall. There's no protection. There's no gates. We're vulnerable. We're fighting, but we have no direction. We have no leadership. We have no confidence. We don't have a plan. There's just no hope. So the walls of Jerusalem are broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. There's nothing left, Nehemiah. We're just existing and trying to do something here in this area. Well, what do you do when you don't know what to do? How would you think Nehemiah would respond to a situation like this? When I was a kid, I used to watch on Saturday morning cartoons. You know, I'd watch the shows there, or when I'd come home from school at night, I'd watch some TV, and there were commercials that would come on, and you may be familiar with these commercials. It was the ones that was like, for just a few pennies a day, You can help a child in need. You know the ones I'm talking about. I would see these kids in these impoverished areas just with just skin and bone, with the bloated stomachs, with flies all over them, and they were hungry, thirsty, very sick, and very hurting kids. And I was so uncomfortable with the images that I was seeing that I would quickly change the channel. I just didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to engage or feel the hurt, the sadness, the devastation that I was seeing on the screen. And so I would just change the channel. What do you do when you don't know what to do? I think for all of us, when we come to this place of being grieved about something, of being so moved by an image or a story, we need to respond to what we're engaged in. How do we begin to do the good work that God is calling us to? Because when we are seeing these things, He is obviously putting something in our hearts, compelling us to do something about what we are seeing and what we are engaging in. And the first step in this is what Nehemiah did in verse 4, right? He says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept." For you and for me, when we come to a place of seeing something that is hurting us so much, we need to grieve it. We need to cry about it. We need to sit down and cry. It would have been easy for Nehemiah to just, you know, hear the news and go, "Well, that's 1,000 miles away. It's not really affecting me all that much. I'm just going to kind of shrug it off. I've got this great job, right? I'm in the palace. I'm eating the king's food. I'm watching shows on the king's big screen 4K TV. You know, I'm living my best life, posting selfies. You know, like, serving the king. I'm humble to serve, right? Just doing all this stuff." He could have just been like, "Well, that's a rough place for Jerusalem to be in that place, and for our countrymen, our people to be suffering over there. But what am I going to do? I got this job here. That, I mean, do they know that I'm putting my life on the line every day for the king?" It's an interesting place that Nehemiah could have seen himself in, and yet he chose to let the pain in. He could have been like, "Ah, whatever, I'm going to let it go." But he chose to let the pain in. He chose to grieve it. He chose to sit down and cry. He chose to let that information in his head sink to his heart. And he chose to work through that pain. What breaks your heart today? Is it hungry children in another country who, for just a few dollars a day, can start to get the food that they need and the care that they need? Or could it be just kids who can't read? And maybe that's a struggle that you have a pain about, or kids with special needs. Maybe it's those hurting kids who've been bullied all of their life, right? Or those children that are neglected. Maybe they're the children that are abused. Those are the things that really bother you. Maybe it's a group of people, a person that is just trapped under the weight of addiction, or they're held hostage to drugs. Maybe it's those individuals that are trapped by their lusts for porn, and that is a place where it hurts you and you want to do something about it. It could be the homeless people, right? Or those individuals that are trafficked for the sex trade, and they're abused and they're used and abused because of that. Maybe it's the impoverished, the people who just can't afford things, afford homes, afford to clean up, or to drink, to have clean water, or deal with preventable diseases. Maybe it's those things that are hurting you, or that the fact that God's word is not being translated into certain languages, and those people need to hear the Lord and read the word in their own language. Maybe that's what's hurting you, or a struggle. Or maybe it's your call to speak on behalf of the unborn who can't speak for themselves. What breaks your heart? When I was working in the youth ministry, there was a group of students that were coming that, you know, they weren't the cleanest bunch of kids. they obviously had really hard homes and didn't really experience a lot of love inside their homes. They listened to some really hardcore music. They smoked. Sometimes they came high to youth group. And they were an outcast group of people. And I saw them, I saw their brokenness, and it moved me to just want to welcome them in. And as I did this, I got pushback from other individuals as they looked at this group of young people coming in who were cutting themselves, who were so, because they were so numb to the pain of their life that they just wanted to feel something. So they would cut themselves, they would hurt themselves, they would do this stuff just so they could feel. And as I was trying to reach out and love on these kids, because I was so hurt, my heart was broken for them. I had individuals that were coming up and saying, "Mark, I don't think we should be letting these kind of kids come into the youth group. I don't think we should have that kind of influence as we are bringing our kids to this place. I don't think those other kids should be coming because, I mean, what if they're a bad influence to my kid? Or what if that's going to affect how my kid responds to Jesus?" And I couldn't help but hear the separation that was going on. And I was trying to do whatever it took to get these kids to come into the building. And I heard from people saying, "How can we keep these kids out of the building?" It was breaking my heart to hear from people who knew the Lord, who loved the Lord, say, "Well, if you're going to let these kids in, then I'm going to take my kid out." That hurt. It hurt so much to hear that kind of language coming from people who love Jesus and know Jesus. I had to take time, and I sat down and I cried over these kids. I cried over the separation that they feel every day and how it was being continued to be talked about by individuals who love Jesus. I made a point at that moment to say that will not be the case in any place that I serve. That when people are coming here, they need to know that they belong, regardless of how dirty they are, regardless of what they look like, regardless of what they smell like, regardless of where their hearts are at that moment. They need to know from me that I look at them and say to them, from demonstrating it by my actions to my words and from my heart, that they belong here. I was compelled to open up my space that I was leading in to whomever would show up. That's the kind of place that it broke me. That's where my heart was at. What breaks your heart? Take time and cry for those people that break your heart. Let it in, feel the pain, and embrace the burden. And as Nehemiah began to cry, he didn't just stay in that place of sadness and grieving and crying. He began to, from that sitting position, fall on his knees, and he began to pray. In Nehemiah 1, verse 4, it goes on to say, "For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." You know, if it's big enough to cry about, then it's big enough to pray about. Nehemiah recognized this, that he goes, this is the first thing. When I'm crying, I need to go to God. Oftentimes, what do? We go to God last. Well, we've tried everything else, so I guess the last thing we can do is pray. Have you ever thought about how that might be interpreted by the Lord, by God? I mean, think about this. It's like, well, okay, I guess it's the last thing we can do is pray about it and ask God. And God might be going, yeah, you know, gosh, I'm just the one who created all things. I don't know what I can do that can kind of help make things different or change. Think about that. I mean, you are talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're putting him as the last resort. Shouldn't he actually be the first place you go? I mean, if you're thinking, I'm just one person, what can one person do? Let me just tell you, one person plus God is a majority. is a majority. One person plus God is a majority. May it be that that is the first place we go rather than the last place we go. That as we sit and cry, may the next action that we do be that we kneel and pray. It goes on in verse 5 to say that the Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear, and prayer your servant is praying. Let me start that over. In verse 5, he begins to pray. And in his prayer, Nehemiah says this, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. You know, he goes on to confess his own sins, and he goes to confess the sins of his people. He reminds God of God's promise of faithfulness to Moses. What a great thing that he goes to pray, and then he is asked, God, he says, God, would you just give me opportunity as I go before the king and ask permission to leave and to rebuild? He goes to ask, give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man, talking about the king. What you pray about reflects what you believe about God. And in this moment, when Nehemiah is praying to the Lord, he is asking God so much. And I think he's asking, he's praying some dangerous prayers, right? God, use me. God, move in others so that I have found favor with these people. Help me to do what you are calling me to do. These are dangerous prayers. It goes beyond just the bless my food, keep me safe, right? Help me to have a good day kind of moments. When he's praying this, he is saying, God, I believe that you have put these things in my heart, and I am praying that you will move these things, move these obstacles, so that I would be able to do what you are calling me to do. Right? Move, act, work, reveal your glory, stretch me, empower me, Lord, use me. These are dangerous prayers, and these are the prayers that he was praying to ask the Lord to do amazing things. So how do you begin to do a good work? You sit down and cry. You kneel down and pray. And the third thing is to stand up and act. So his tears, they turned to prayers, right? And his prayers drove him to act. So he takes the wine to the king, and he goes in with this heavy heart, right? He's walking in, and he's not like jumping into this going, I'm ready to act, I'm ready to get after it, I'm ready to do something, let's go. You know, he's not like going to the king and saying, King, I got to just tell you that there's something on my heart, right? And he's not doing that. He's prayed that the Lord would give him favor and pray that God would make a way, right? And so he goes in doing his job, ready to take care of what he has to take care of for the day. But he's heavy-hearted, right? He's down. And the king notices, right? And he says that the king he said in verse 4, it says, the king said to me, what is it you want? And then Nehemiah prays. He says, then I prayed to the God of heaven. And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. Right? He's like, my people are hurting, the walls are down, the city's exposed, somebody's got to do something. You know, it might as well be me. You know, I gotta travel, I gotta do this stuff. And when you think about it, here it is that the king's family, the king's history is, he tore down the walls, Nebuchadnezzar tore down the walls, he burned up the city, he destroyed the gates, he destroyed the temple, all of this stuff to say, we're going to wipe out the Jews from existence. And here it is that decades later, century later, you know, here's Nehemiah saying, can I go back and repair the walls? My people are hurting. If you find favor in this, would you allow me to go and repair my city? Talk about just a very bold statement. And God works in the king and allows Nehemiah to go and to do this stuff. God made this ordinary guy do super or do supernatural things, do extraordinary things. God made this ordinary guy do extraordinary things to rebuild the wall in record times, in record time, to do just above and beyond what he could think or imagine. Nehemiah is a great book on leadership and what it means to be a great leader. And I really believe that God used him to do mighty things, but it started with hearing and what was hurting him, and he cried. He got down and prayed, and then he stood up and he took action. You know, throughout history, there are ordinary people that have done extraordinary things. And I just want to give you a few of these individuals today. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the pastor in Germany during the rise of the Nazi party and Hitler. And he stood up against that, and he stood up against fascism. He continued to preach the word of God, even though the state was saying to not do it. George Mueller was compelled to take on all the orphans in London and just begin to love on the unlovable. These people, these young kids who had been cast away, George Mueller took them in and provided a safe place where he began to just share and show them the love of God. Eric Little was an Olympic athlete, had everything, and chose to answer the call of God on his life and went to China and became a missionary. Scott Harrison, I don't know where his faith is at, but Scott Harrison, who was a country club operator, or not a country club, a dance club, a nightclub operator, here's a guy that just came to a crisis of faith, the crisis of life, and began to see a need for clean water, and took action. And now, through Charity Waters, is doing great things to bring clean water to areas of the world that have before that not had anything like that. I think it was Gustavo Mondragon in our church, who was compelled to give back and reach out to Hispanic people across the border in Palomas to love on orphans and children who have lost family, and then to love on moms and to reach out and to love on people and to give back so much of what he has been blessed with. Kristen Carrico, compelled to help women who have been abused, to let them know that they are seen and that they are loved. Sarah Brainerd, as she is stepping into becoming the youth pastor in our church, here is a woman who has seen the hurting, who has seen young people who have needed to be loved on because nobody else is doing that. And she is reaching out to the kids in this community and just letting them know that she is seeing them, that they're cared for and that they are loved here at the River Church by her and by the other leaders. These are great men and women who have had their hearts broken in history and who prayed, sought God, and then took action. So today, I hope that you're hearing that there might be things that the Lord has put on your heart to do. May you not feel like you're too busy to take action. May you feel like you can't make a difference, that it's somebody else's responsibility. Instead, may you begin to see that you can take action, that you can make a difference in one person's life. And if you can make a difference in one person's life, then you're doing something great for the kingdom of God. Remember, if it's breaking your heart, sit down and cry. Kneel down to pray, and then get up and take action. You don't have to be appointed by man if you are called by God to do great and mighty things. So today, may you step into this and may you do the great work for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that through Nehemiah's account and through his story, Lord, that we can take this and learn from it and recognize that we too can grieve and pray first and foremost, and then take action that you are calling us to do and lead us in that, Lord. God, give us the courage, give us the strength, motivate us, help us to move in our lives as you are calling us to do these things. Lord, we love you and we praise you for all of this. May it be, God, that we take this to heart and do great and mighty things for you and for the kingdom of God. We love you and praise you, God, in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, if you have some ideas, if you have some things that the Lord has put on your heart today that have so compelled you to do great things, I want to hear about it. I want to hear the stories. I want to hear also if there are things that you see that the Lord is leading you to do and you haven't done them yet, but you want to, let us know. Comment below that you are wanting to step up and to take action. And today, if the Lord has just spoken to you and has placed on your heart that you need Him as a Savior and that you need to be led by Him, I want to just encourage you to type in that comment box below, I need Jesus in my life. Guys, I'm so excited for today. I'm excited for what God is doing in this church and excited what God is doing in your life. We want to hear about it. We want to pray for you. So thanks a lot, you guys. Hope you're having a great rest of your day, and we will see you back here next week, same time. God bless you.